Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 presents Meeting the Human Resource Needs of the Staff by Brother Tim Christensen. Brother Tim Christensen oversees the operation ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church. This audio recording is a free resource from Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
1 Corinthians 14:40, I alluded to a moment ago, let all things be done decently and in order. Titus 1:5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Titus was told, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the Apostle Paul, that he was left on the island of Crete to set things in order. We believe that ministry should be done in an orderly fashion. We believe that orderliness brings glory to God. It is consistent with God's character, and it helps ministry be done in a more fruitful manner. And so, not every church needs a human resources department, but once a church has a few employees, there are some human resources issues to be addressed. For us, those needs were addressed by the senior pastor for the first couple of decades, really. Maybe 12 or 15 years into it, he asked for some help from the pastoral staff and from the financial administrator. In the early days, there was the pastor and a bookkeeper, and then that developed in when the church was 12 years old, Brother Hobbs joined our staff as the financial administrator, and that added some structure to some of the things we'll discuss today. And then beyond there, several years after that, Pastor asked me, as one of the associate pastors who'd been here a while, to help him with managing some staff-related issues. And then we came to the point 2 years ago where we said, we really need someone working every day on human resources items. And we asked Ms. Finn to join our team, and we're thankful that she did. And so I'm going to try to move through the notes fairly quickly so that at the end, if you have a question that she knows the answer better than I do, she can answer it, and where we can do some things of that nature. Wiktionary, which has become to me a great source of information. I don't think that everything's 100% accurate, but Wiktionary defines human resources as the personnel department of an organization. It deals with the recruitment, the administration, the management, and the training of employees. Our churches have many resources. We have buildings, we have buses, we have vans, we have computers, we have tables and chairs. But our most valuable resource really are the human resources, besides those that relate to our relationship with the Lord. Many churches have human resources before they have physical resources. If a pastor meets with people in a rented high school auditorium, they don't have a lot of resources. They don't have any land or buildings, but they have a pastor. And so the people who have said they'd like to roll up their sleeves and join our team and labor with us, we feel like they're a great, great resource, and they're a resource that needs to be stewarded. We know that when someone mismanages or wastes or hoards their financial resources, we call that bad stewardship. But when people are devoting 40 hours a week or 60 hours a week to the work of God, if they are being mismanaged, and if we're not getting the most out of what we're paying them and what they're contributing by pouring their blood, sweat, and tears into the ministry, then we are not being a good steward of the human resources. The human resources are more important than the equipment that relates to the roof over our heads or the tools in our hands. Just as the physical resources must be stewarded, the human resources must as well. When we talk about human resources department, we're talking about a department within the ministry that is dedicated to serving and supporting the servant leaders in the church. All of our churches have various departments. We have the bus ministry, we have the youth department, we have the children's ministry department, we have the music ministry, and we have people on our staff who work in those areas, even if it's just one staff member who's responsible for all of those areas. Here at Lancaster Baptist, we have a few departments that serve everyone. I'll give you a couple examples. Whether it's the Christian school or the Bible college or the publications department or the church, including the bus ministry and the Sunday school ministry and so forth, there are four departments in our offices that serve all of those folks. And that's the facilities department, including the IT, The media department, those are folks that do graphic design and video and web. The finance department, and then fourth, in the last 2 years, the human resources department. So those departments, they're not specifically focused on one category of ministry, like children or youth or bus or school or publications or radio. They're focused on serving all the folks who focus on those things, and that's what they focus on. This department, as with all the departments, is under the direction of the pastor, and typically the pastor or a member of the pastoral staff on his behalf would work with the responsibilities in that department. So let's get into it, and I'm going to share with you some things we shared with our staff 2 years ago this summer. Our need for the human resources department. What is our need? Why do we need this department? And you may not need an entire human resources department, but I would guess that your church may need to give some attention to some of these areas. First of all, letter A, we want to support our staff in a timely manner. When the staff grows, they have questions and they have needs and they have issues. If those questions and needs have to be addressed or met by the pastor alone, it can really drain him and pull him from what we believe his first calling is, which is to the ministry of the word and prayer, Acts chapter 6. So we want to support a growing staff in a timely manner. And letter B, we want to free up the pastoral staff to do the biblical work of the ministry, the work of biblical ministry. We want to free up the pastoral staff to do the work of biblical ministry. Number three, we want to answer a growing number of personnel-related questions. When it comes to questions about days off and vacation and medical benefits and policies and procedures, these questions arise, and sometimes you don't know the questions until you've realized they weren't answered. You know, we tease about the college handbook that has all the rules for the students. Every year it grows. And why does it grow every year? And some students think it's a badge of honor. I know that when I was in Bible college, I went to Bible College in Tennessee, and I was there in the third year of the school, so every year I was there, their handbook grew as well. And there were certain students that in the fall semester would wear as a badge of honor the fact that, yeah, that rule's in there because of me from last year. And you don't learn sometimes what you need in the way of rules until you learn that people were actually ignorant enough to do, you know, to exercise that behavior. Same thing on the staff. I'm being a little facetious about the ignorance, but on the staff, sometimes you don't know that a question needed to be answered until later. In the first many years of the ministry, it was just a whole bunch of good-hearted people working all hours of the day, all hours of the night, as hard as they could, as fast as they could, reaching as many people as they could. But then when you start having media departments and when you start having full-time people that all they do is landscaping and maintenance and custodial and website management, all of a sudden now, it's not just a couple of good-hearted guys who went to Bible college together who are going to work real hard. Now it's all kinds of people that come from various backgrounds and have different strengths and weaknesses, and they need to be managed. Sometimes it's unfair to expect something out of someone when we haven't communicated the expectations. And so we were discovering that all of a sudden we were hiring people who didn't have the same DNA and intuitive disciplines in their lives that people like Earl and Kay Husband had, who've been working here for 20 years. They didn't have the same DNA that Carrie Schmidt has, who helped Pastor move here as a high school student. And when we started hiring people to teach in the Bible college and hiring people to keep the grounds green and to keep the buildings clean and started hiring college students and college graduates fresh out of college to manage websites and to be assistant youth pastors, we realized that it's not all intuitive. You can't just rely on we all love the Lord and we all love the local church and we're all going to spend our lives and burn the candle at both ends. And some of these things need to be communicated and clarified. So we want to answer a growing number of questions. And we want to answer those questions in a timely, accurate, fair, equitable, and consistent way. Because what can develop if it's just kind of a everybody does that which is right in their own eyes mentality is you've got one guy who's working real hard who never takes a day off, and he's bitter. And you've got another guy who, you know, was warned about not burning out, and he takes 3 days off a week, you know, or I'm exaggerating, but because that probably wouldn't happen for too long in most of our churches, but you have these kinds of things happen. And someone says, you're given 2 weeks of vacation. Well, is that 14 days not counting Saturday and Sunday, or is that, how does that work? You have people who, some people schedule their vacation for 6 days, and they're so dedicated to the work of the church, they'll leave on Monday morning and come back on Saturday night and not even miss teaching their Sunday school class. You've got another guy who will leave on Sunday morning and come back the next Sunday night, and he missed 2 Sundays to take a 7-day vacation. And so you got to answer some of these questions. Letter D, to conduct ministry in an orderly way. An orderly way. Letter E, to properly welcome new staff. Not all of this is related to making the staff behave. Some of it is related just to treating them right and to providing information to them about their compensation and about their our expectations and what is their job description and welcoming the new staff. When someone starts, we want to orientate them. I read one author recently who said he wanted to get contact lenses, but they would not the optometrist would not prescribe the contact lenses without him attending a 3-hour seminar on the proper use and care of contact lenses. And he said, I'm not committed enough to get contact lenses because I don't have time to go to the orientation. There's an orientation for everything these days. And yet sometimes we hire people and we just turn them loose to run amok or to do what comes natural or to do what they learned in Bible college. But maybe we need to welcome them in a little more official and intentional manner. Letter F. One of the purposes of this department is to clearly communicate the ministry's expectations. We want to define their relationships with each other. I'll give you two tools we use for that. When it comes to defining expectations, we give them a flowchart that helps them to know who they report to and who they're accountable to and how the staff operates. And we also give them a job description. The job description includes an expectation of what their schedule is going to be, and so that our expectations are communicated. Letter G. The purpose of this department was to establish unified systems in training and communication. Some people, depending on what team they work on in the ministry, they have a real micromanaging team leader. Maybe their team leader is an associate pastor or the school principal, and they have a real micromanaging team leader that's constantly meeting with them and explaining to them and clarifying with them and reminding them. And maybe someone else has a real hands-off team leader, and this guy just loves youth ministry because it's fun, and he doesn't bother his staff. He just wants them, he doesn't want to trouble them with meeting with him or him bothering them with micromanaging. And so they just go and so there's no real system in place for training people and making sure everyone is communicated with. Letter H, we want to address issues and solve problems effectively. There are issues. There are problems. One staff member wants to use the fellowship hall to meet with the bus workers, and another staff member wants to use the fellowship hall to, have some kind of another event that's competing. How do you solve these problems and address these issues? Letter I, we want to carefully steward our ministry's investment in benefits. If we're going to provide benefits to people, medical, dental, retirement, if we're going to extend benefits to people, we want to do it in a way that is exercising good stewardship for the ministry. We want some folks that are going to be shopping and checking into different ways of structuring things. And it's been, a national news item for the last 3 years, the skyrocketing costs of medical insurance. So we want to deal with those things effectively and properly steward the dollars from the ministry that are flowing toward insurance companies. And then letter J, we want to safeguard our ministry from legal liability. Now, Brother Gibbs would tell you this is a critical one because churches are being audited and being held accountable for, like it or not, not complying with federal law when it comes to tax withholdings and self-employment tax and Social Security tax. And so we have a member of our church who owns a trucking company. And he has He has dozens of employees, and it's a multi-million-dollar business, I guess. Not that he's a millionaire, but it does a lot of business. And he was audited by the state. It was an HR audit to see if he was filing everything just exactly correctly. And he literally paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees and in penalties because he wasn't documenting and withholding correctly with his drivers. And we don't want to do that in the ministry. Sometimes churches have felt like, we shouldn't be held to the same standard because we, we're a ministry, and if we forget, or we don't withhold something, or we don't pay something, or we don't structure it in the right way and have the right signatures on the dotted lines, that's okay because we're a church. There may have been a day when that would have been overlooked, but IRS regulators are actually being instructed to target churches because they know that's a big place where there's a lot of lack of compliance. And so, number one, we want our church to have a good testimony. Number two, we don't want our church to be in trouble in a way that could hinder us financially from doing ministry or keeping the staff that we have. A friend of mine is here for the conference, and he's an associate pastor and was sharing some burdens with me. His dad's the senior pastor, and they went in together with the knowledge that he would become the pastor in a year or two if the church was happy with that. And he said, I'm worried, though. He said, basically, the day we got there, the day we started, we got hit with a $15,000 bill from the government. I can't remember if it was local or federal, but it had to do with the church not doing things properly when it came to legal responsibilities. So this is our need for a human resources department. Let me just mention real quickly before I move on, this idea of being audited. You don't just get audited by the IRS. You can actually be audited by the agencies in the state that regulate employment guidelines. There are guidelines about how many hours of overtime people can work. There are guidelines about whether someone who's salaried can work over 40 hours or can't work over 40 hours. And there are guidelines about that are published depending on the state. And you can actually be audited from this perspective. And God forbid you ever have a disgruntled employee. Disgruntled employees, if they become aware of the fact that the church is out of compliance on overtime or time clock management or work week structure or sick leave, they can actually bring legal action against the church that can just be terrible for the church's testimony and financially a real problem. So we want to safeguard the ministry from that. Number two. We talked to our staff a couple years ago about the nature of the HR department. The HR department is going to be involved in the following disciplines. Letter A, maintaining personnel files. This would include their W-4. This would include their interview materials from when they interviewed. It would include any disciplinary issues that have been addressed, meetings that were conducted. It would include issues that are required by the state with respect to their employment at the church. Letter B, this department will manage time, attendance, vacation, and leave. So when it comes to the time clock and people's attendance at work and their vacation time, including sick leave, they're going to manage that and keep track of that on the calendar. Sometimes people will call Deirdre and say, how many vacation days have I used? And how many do I have available to me? And so on and so forth. Letter C, the department will oversee payroll processing. That's pretty standard. Letter D, this department will manage health insurance and benefit-related issues. Letter E, this department will coordinate the hiring and assimilation of new employees and the out-processing of those that didn't just work out. And sometimes it's the fact that someone is being moved by the Lord, being called to a mission field or being asked to come take a church or something of that nature. And sometimes you out-process employees, and we want to make sure we get their equipment back and we get their keys back and we provide the documentation that they need and so forth. So out-processing and in-processing new employees. It's not that this department makes the hiring decisions, but this department supports the pastor. When the pastor makes a hiring decision, then this department helps to welcome that person and bring them up to speed and share the policies with them and so on and so forth. Next, this department will support performance evaluations and corrective measures. Thankfully, there aren't a lot of corrective measures that take place, but this takes place on a somewhat regular basis. And but we do have annual performance evaluations. And we took those a step up this past year. I should have probably brought to you a sample of what we used this past January to evaluate our employees. And it was a pretty fun process, frankly, and an insightful process. We gave them a form to fill out. It was a little bit of a survey about their experience last year as an employee here. We had the person who manages them fill out something about their analysis of that person's role. And then we had the two of them, we had the person submit their survey to the leader. And then the leader compared his notes with their notes, or her notes with their notes. And then that leader, that manager, whether it's the youth pastor or an associate pastor or the school principal or the office manager, called that employee in for an appointment for 15 or 20 minutes. And they went over the employee's input and shared goals, and then they answered questions and so forth and talked about areas that needed to be improved. And it was a very, very healthy exercise. And again, this is a part of establishing expectations. And this person, no employees are perfect, so every person has something they can probably work on in the new year, and every person has probably some things last year that they could be commended for. And so we want to have a formal time to do that each year, and we think it lends to some effectiveness. Letter G. This office will maintain current job descriptions, classifications, and structure. You know what a job description is. It tells someone what they're supposed to do. Classification is a little different. Who in your church gets a cell phone provided by the ministry? Or who gets a week of vacation and who gets 3 weeks of vacation? And who gets paid vacation and who gets unpaid vacation? And who is salaried and who's hourly? And who gets a secretary and who doesn't get a secretary? And who, you know, who's responsible for attending the staff meeting and who's not responsible for attending the staff meeting? Maybe you have one person on your staff that does janitorial and they're not expected to attend a meeting or some training, but someone who works with the youth ministry is supposed to attend that training or that meeting. And the classification system was an exercise we did about a year and a half ago or so, where we looked at every employee and we figured out, where do we fall into? And did we come up with 22? 20? So 22 classifications. The one on top is the senior pastor. He's the only one in that classification, okay? And that classification comes with certain things. Who do you provide medical insurance for and who don't you provide medical insurance for? We'll provide medical insurance for the guys because a lot of them are married and they have families, but we won't provide medical insurance for the gals. Well, that's illegal, okay? At least in California it is, to do it just like that. So that doesn't work exactly. So we created these classifications. And there's 20 classifications, and I'll give you a sample of this too if you ask for it. And then there's, you know, 27 categories, and how we deal with that particular classification. Do they get paid vacation or don't they? Do they get a cell phone? Don't they? Do they have access to the internet from their office or do they not have access to the internet? And it's done by classification. What's great about that is when you hire someone, you don't have to make it all up as you go along. And you ask yourself, what is this person's role and what classification do they fit into? And my battery's dead. And, you know, I could really use a power supply because there's some things I want to show the folks in about 10 minutes. Need a key? I underestimated. Yeah, let's have Brother Dunwoody get that for us. And it's on my desk. You have to grab the power supply and disconnect it like you do. And then in the top drawer on the right, it's the little two little prongs that you plug in, okay? So you need the little adapter in the right drawer. Sorry, Brother Jerry. So these classifications answer those questions when someone's hired so that staff don't get a couple months or a couple years into their role here and go, why don't I get what he's getting? Or why don't? And the answer, that's all settled with classifications. We'll keep moving and filling in the notes while we wait for the power cord. I knew where we left off when I had the screen. H, maintain and communicate employee policies and procedures. Just like the college handbook grows every year, our ministry policies grow every year. And it's partially because of people's behavior, but more than that, it's just because of new issues. We didn't need a Facebook policy 2 years ago, but we do now, you know. And so things change, and our circumstances change, and so we need to know how to deal with things. And we write policies to deal with those things. And every year, we have a staff orientation. We'll talk about more about that in a few minutes maybe. But we have a staff orientation each year. And at that staff orientation, almost every year, there are invariably 5 or 10 policies that are distributed new for that year. To go back to why it's so important that a new employee is brought up to speed, if we have our staff orientation in August and, you know, this X number of people attend that staff orientation, now everybody knows about the new policy. And that new policy was put into place for reasons. And so everybody knows about it. But what about somebody who gets hired in January? They haven't heard about that. Everybody else was corrected, and everybody else got on the same page, and everybody else understood this is important to pastor, that we, you know, reserve rooms before we use them, or that we clean up after ourselves after an event, or that we don't post inappropriate things on Facebook or whatever. And we all understand that that's important. Okay, fine. Now, but now in January, here's a new person who doesn't know that. And so they are asked to read the policies and procedures, and they are asked to sign that they understand and acknowledge their compliance to the policies and procedures. And they do that as a part of the in-processing. One of our next goals in the Human Resources Department is to develop a ministry employee handbook. And my hope is that we can take our policies and procedures manual and figure out what in that is really policy and what of that is really more just manual how-to, and let's pull that out and let's add some to it and let's give people a kind of a user's manual that's a little more digestible and it's maybe more like this, and it's something they can review in their first week here, and it'll help them understand some of the culture and DNA of what it means to serve on this team. And that's one of our goals right now. Letter I, to coordinate ongoing staff training, development, and communication. To coordinate ongoing staff training, development, and communication. If you take nothing else from this session, I would encourage you, if you have more than one or two staff members, I would encourage you to have an annual staff training event. And I would do it overnight if you can. The way we do it is we go to a hotel, and we go to a large enough hotel that has a conference facilities for conventions and so forth. And we ask the staff to contribute to the expense of the event. And the church reserves all the rooms in the conference room and pays the big bill to the hotel and does a lot of other things. And then the staff give the church a little bit of money that offsets and maybe represents half of the expense of the staff training event. And then we all show up on a Thursday afternoon to this hotel. Usually it's a driving distance away, enough to get us out of our comfort zone. And we all show up and we go to an opening assembly on Thursday night, usually. And so on Thursday night, we all come in, and the first thing that happens is Pastor preaches to us, basically. And he preaches to us the theme for the new year. So in August of 2010, next month, we'll learn the 2011 theme. That'll also be the theme of next year's conference, and that'll be the theme that we unveil to our church on New Year's Eve. So that's kind of how the theme works around here. We hear about it in August, and we're sworn to secrecy. And then on December 31st or on the first Sunday of January, our church hears about it. And then that becomes, and that's kind of a fun thing. Then we all stay in the hotel that night and get up and have either breakfast on our own or breakfast together the next morning, and then have some sessions. Usually an outside guest speaker is brought in who pastor thinks will sharpen our staff. That guest speaker will give a devotion the next morning and usually teach some session on something that person is an authority on, whether it's servant leadership or Bible study or, you know, whatever, soul winning. And then pastor will teach a couple of sessions about what's been brewing in his heart the last several months. And he goes through this big process every summer of where is our church headed and what does our church need What are our areas that we need to shore up? Thank you, sir. Okay, no problem. Thank you. And as he goes through that exercise every summer, then he shares it with us in August. And there's always a bit of implementation required. A lot of times, let's just say it's adult Sunday school, and we pastor share with the church this last Sunday that he wants to start 25 new classes, and he'll talk for an hour about that whole process with the staff and why we're going to do it and how we're going to do it and when we're going to do it. And then the staff's responsible from August to, say, December to begin implementing the instructions they received and working together, and then it's kicked off with the church. And you could apply that to every category of ministry. So, letter I, coordinate ongoing staff training, development, communication. Sometimes at that staff orientation, pastor will give us all a gift. Sometimes he'll give us all a book that's gift wrapped that he wants us to read. Sometimes he'll give us a t-shirt with a golf shirt with a ministry logo on it. Sometimes he'll give us, one time we did a set of, etched glasses that had the theme on it or something. And other years we've done pens and, whatever, jackets or just some fun things to make a memory and get the staff together. A lot of times we had a meal together and gone to a banquet facility or the hotel and had a nice meal together. And he tries to make it a time to thank the staff and commend the staff, but he really, the overwhelming emphasis is to challenge the staff and to get the staff to reenlist for the next year of ministry according to the theme that has been shared with us. And so a year ago, 11 months ago, the By His Spirit theme was shared with us and then shared with the church January 1st. Letter J. We've already talked about this. We want this department to ensure compliance with state and federal employment regulations. Point number three is the roles relevant to the HR department. We'll just kind of speed through this real quickly. This is how it's structured here, and it's going to be done differently in every church, I'm sure. The human resources coordinator is Ms. Finn. Another lady who's actually part-time, who works with Ms. Finn, is the payroll processor. Letter C, the financial administrator. It's Brother Ben Hobbs here. Ministry team leaders. These are people like the school principal, Brother Schmidt, Brother Furso, myself, Dr. Getch, Dr. Rasmussen. These are the team leaders. And we didn't want to create an environment where there's this bureaucracy and everybody has to go to Deirdre or Meve to get every question answered they have. And we said to them, we want your daily work, the carrying out of your job description, we want that to be something that you do with your team leader's leadership. And if you have questions about your job description and about your role and about what to do in a certain circumstance, that's what these men are here for. They're here to manage your work and to lead you as a part of their team. So those team leaders still answer ministry questions and department-related questions, but when it comes to an item related to the human resource disciplines, like vacation or schedule, we centralized that because, to go back to an exaggerated example I used earlier, one guy might say, yeah, take a week off. You've worked hard. Another guy might not even think to say that. And all of a sudden, there can develop these inequities that breeds kind of an unhealthy inconsistency across the board. And so we centralized just these areas that relate to the Human Resources Department. So the ministry leaders are certainly quite involved. Then we have an associate pastor. Some churches would call this person an administrative pastor or an executive pastor. We don't use either one of those two terms much, but that's me here at Lancaster Baptist. I'm the associate pastor and we have three associate pastors. I'm the one who is responsible for the human resources function and working with Deirdre and with Brother Hobbs on all of the disciplines that we discussed here today. And then finally, of course, the buck stops with the senior pastor. Okay? Now, number four, we're moving pretty good here considering the topic. Our interaction with the Human Resources Department. Here are eight ways we told our staff they were expected to and could benefit from functioning with this new department in place. Number one, we told our staff, letter A, to respect the function of the department. To respect the function of the department. There are people, they don't mean to be, but they're manipulative. And they'll work the system a little bit. They go, if I ask Brother Rasmussen for a day off, he'll probably say no. But if I ask Brother Getch for a day off, he'll probably say yes, you know. Or this brother that leads at my team, he doesn't even really read the emails that carefully I send him, you know. If I say, hey, I'd like to take vacation from, you know, June 1st to June 31st, he'll just say, oh, yeah, the month of June looks good, you know, and say yes. And all of a sudden, it's not, I'm exaggerating, but all of a sudden, people are not respecting the function of the department because they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. And they're, you know, somebody goes to Pastor Chaplin and go, Pastor, man, I've really been working long hours. Somebody in the media department, let's just say, they work on websites. And yeah, the server crashed and I had to work all night. Can I take a couple days off to make up for that? And Pastor might say, well, sure you can. Then they might go to Brother Schmidt. Hey, can I take a day off? Because, yeah. Then they might go to Brother Isabel, who is in charge of the IT. Can I have a day off? And all of a sudden, they're taking 4 days off, you know. And none of them intended for them to take 4 days off. But yeah, Pastor gave me two, and Brother Schmidt gave me one, and Brother Isabel gave me one. And you'd have, we had a certainly a less exaggerated things, examples like that happening where people would manipulate the system a little bit. So we told the staff, respect the function of the department. You say, well, you must have some really poor charactered people working here. Well, there are about 200 people on the payroll, and a lot of them are part-time, and a lot of them are 22. And the people that you all know that have been around, who've been around here, you know, people like Brother Butterfield and Brother Lester and Brother Furso and Mrs. Furso and all these people are the hardest working people in the world, and they wouldn't need any of this. But when the staff gets past 20 or 30, you really need some of this to help some fairness take place. Letter B. We told the staff, please direct your questions and needs in a manner that is consistent with the structure. So when you have a question about a day off or a medical benefit or a salary question, go through these channels. And a big part of the purpose for this department was to de-overwhelm Pastor Chapel. People used to think, if I have any question or favor or legitimate request that's related to my compensation or my schedule, it has to go to Pastor Chapel. And frankly, he was dealing with too many human resources related issues, having to answer questions. And so we streamlined it, we developed some structure, and we created an environment where people had a structure where when they come to Deirdre with a question, she already has a precedent on how to deal with it. Or if she doesn't, she comes to me. And so she answers 5 out of 10 questions. The other 5 she brings to me or Brother Hobbs, depending on which one of us it relates more to. And we answer 2 or 3 of those. And now only 2 out of 10 questions have to be taken to Pastor Chapel. And he or I will take them to him about an exception or a need. And I'm not making fun or demeaning our staff. We have an amazing, amazing staff. And most of those 10 questions I just mentioned, they're very, very legitimate questions and needs and issues and exceptions that need to be dealt with. Okay? We told them to direct questions and needs in a manner consistent with the structure. Let us see. We told them, differentiate between pastoral issues and personnel issues. Differentiate between pastoral issues and personnel issues. The point of that is, Pastor Chapel is still your pastor. We're not building this, you know, electric fence around Pastor Chapel where you can't get to him with a need. If your loved one passed away and you need to fly out to Georgia for a family funeral, your pastor wants to know that. But you know, how to count all the days and everything, we'll let Deirdre figure that out and get the help of the men who have established the precedence in that. But Pastor wants to know that you have a burden. Pastor wants to know that you have a question. Pastor wants to know that you have a need. So we said, if you have a pastoral issue, he does not one iota want to become less engaged in those things. But we want him to be less overwhelmed with mundane details related to payroll and vacation and attendance and schedule. Next. Letter D. We told the staff to avoid becoming creative. Creativity is great for graphic designers. and websites. It's not good for schedules and lunch breaks and job descriptions, okay? Someone says, you know, I think I'm going to take a, you know, 30-minute lunch break instead of a 60-minute lunch break, and then every Friday I'm going to leave 2.5 hours early. You know, or, you know, we told them, don't get creative. Part of the reason for this department is to make things a little more uniform and a little more predictable. And good teams huddle together and meet together, and they're on that bench or on that court from the opening whistle to the closing buzzer, right? And so we didn't want staff. I mean, I had a staff member who I said, now listen, when I had her annual review, I said, look at your time clock. Every day you're 10 or 12 minutes late. It's not that difficult just to retrain yourself and quit being 10 or 12 minutes late. And she literally said this, I was hoping maybe I could change my hours. Instead of from 8 to 5, I could work 8:15 to 5:15. Two problems with that. Number one, she'd start coming in at 8:27 then. And number two, there are people relying on her at 8 o'clock who need her services as a ministry employee. Because we are interdependent upon one another. So we don't get all creative and make, you know, all kinds of exceptions like that. Next, we told the staff to acknowledge our accountability for the ministry's expectations. In other words, everybody needs to admit that this has been communicated. Acknowledge the fact that you're accountable for these things. When it comes to acknowledging their accountability, I mentioned earlier that we ask them to sign something that says, I have read, I understand, and I commit to abiding by these policies that have been shared with me. And every year when we pass out 5 or 10 new policies, we list those on a new document and we ask them to sign again that they read those 5 or 10. This is a legal issue even besides a practical human nature issue. If we have a policy that says, no child will be left in a room with an adult alone, and then a staff member allows that to happen, the liability is removed from the church and placed on that individual's negligence, because the church can prove in a court of law that we trained them not to do that, and they acknowledged to us in writing that they would not allow a child to be alone with another adult. And God forbid some tragic thing happens in an environment like that, but you hear and read about those things happening. We've been protected and blessed here, and we think the best way to prevent that is to beg God and be real careful. But when it comes to legal liability, you don't want a negligent, irresponsible, forgetful, undisciplined staff member putting your church in the newspaper's front page for negligent behavior. So that's an important thing. Next, letter F. We told the staff to communicate with both their team leader and the HR department. So we said, okay, in February, your vacation dates are due for the year, your request for when you're going to take your vacation. And let's say your vacation is scheduled from August 1st to August 15th. When July 31st rolls around, and you're going to be gone tomorrow for the next 15 days, please let your team leader know. You know, sometimes you'll have people, they'll go, yeah, I scheduled my vacation, I'm out of here, you know. And they didn't leave any word with anybody about how their responsibilities were being covered or who was going to answer the phone while they weren't there or, you know, things of this nature. And so we said, communicate with your team leader and the HR department. If you have an exception of some kind, I'm going to change my dates. Well, let them both know. I'm going to be off because I have a doctor's appointment that's been approved. Okay, let them both know. Communicate to both your team leader and your HR department. Letter G, ask questions. We told the staff, please ask us questions, because this department can only develop as your questions are asked and your questions will be treated with importance. And then finally, we told the staff to exercise patience as the department develops, because as with all new things, we're not going to get everything right just the first time out the gate. I want to show you a couple things before we take some questions. At our staff orientation last year, we shared a few things with the staff. We just took about a 15-minute session in that staff orientation, and I want to show you what I showed them. We said to them, as a part of the HR function, folks, we're providing some new tools at your disposal effective this week. One of them is a membership directory lookup. We use ministry church management software that manages the data related to the church, giving, attendance, all that, family information. It's called Shelby Systems, if you're interested in knowing which one we use. Other churches have given really good feedback on a newer software that's called Fellowship One. But those are the two I'm most familiar with and would recommend if someone said, what software do you use to manage your church database? Super, super powerful databases can contain a great, great deal of information and help you as you manage your church information. But we had one of our media department people figure out how to make Shelby synchronize with a web browser on the local intranet, just our connectivity through a web browser, so that they could look up any members' information. So if they typed in Alvarez, if they typed in John, here's all the Johns in the church, and here's their address, their phone number, their email, and what adult Bible class they attend. It's kind of a ready reference for our staff, and they appreciated that. Here's another tool we gave them, an electronic staff calendar, so that all this, we used to do paper calendars, and we distribute them every November for the following year. And this year we said, okay, you've all been depending on these paper calendars. We've got this electronic one we've been using for a while. At December 31st this year, your paper calendar turns into a pumpkin, and you are not going to have a new one for the new year. And so start learning the next few months how to depend on this. A lot of you have been using it for the last 6 months or so. So we gave them electronic staff calendar. It's created in Outlook by the secretaries, and a lot of the staff, because they use PCs, use Outlook. And so there's calendars. We also do our room reservations through this system. You can look up every building and every classroom in every building and know if it's reserved for some event or function. People who use Apple computers can also subscribe to the calendar through iCal by using this internet address. We took our ministry service reports to web-based a couple of years ago. Every staff member every Monday used to fill out a paper form that said how many doors they knocked on and, you know, whether they saw someone saved or whatever. We have that electronically now. And that information is collated for a secretary on Monday after the staff have turned them in. Deirdre created several how-to pages for human resources. This is all available on the intranet, internal system. How to set up Outlook, how to use the time clock, how to operate your voicemail, how to change your direct deposit, how to find answers to medical insurance, how to update a W-4 form, and there's downloadable PDFs and so forth. That was an encouragement to our staff. And then we posted all of the policies. A lot of times you're 6 months removed from having read a policy, or 5 years removed from having read a policy, and you go, I know there's a policy on what to do in this situation. And so you go and scan through by category, and you find the policy as a staff member, and you look it up. Questions? Who has a question? Not a question at all. Deirdre, what would you add to anything I said? Would you tell them what is in their official personnel file, the one that's kept separately from the more informal file?
We have an application form, employee for an I-9, and a direct deposit.
Those four forms are kept under lock and key in an employee file by themselves. And then every employee has an additional file that has to do with appointments they've had from, you know, discipline action, things of that nature. Any questions? Yes, sir. Brother Adams?
Do you have the annual surveys that you use with your staff?
Yeah, I'd be happy to email those to you, in fact. If you'll give me your email address or email me and I can respond to it, I'll get you those. I'll just respond with it.
And the formatting for the weekly reports,
no, we've done that for several years. We just put it on the computer about, I guess, 2 years ago. And we showed the staff at our last orientation, which is why I had it as a part of that. I'll put it back up on the screen here real quick.
Also on your calendars, is your church calendar, which is what you make available?
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is. on when we pass out the calendar to the church on December 31st or on the first Sunday of January, we also give them a subscribable address to subscribe electronically so that they can download it to their mobile phone or their computer. And then if updates take place, they do that.
Through the Outlook, you send a message, accept, or?
Yes. Well, no, with the church members, we give them, I don't use Outlook, so sometimes I don't remember exactly how it's done in Outlook, but with the church members, we give them what I think they call a WebCal address. Do you know, Jerry, you're a Mac user too? But.
Yeah, I'm on a different page. I'm talking about the functional church calendar.
The church calendar for the church membership or for the staff.
The staff uses.
Yes, sir. They are expected to just see it in real time. We will email the staff if there's some significant date change. If there's some event that affects a lot of people, we just kind of do that the old-fashioned way. We just let everybody know the date's changed, and then we will change it on the calendar. But if we think it's something that they won't notice, we do email them.
Is the calendar you subscribe to on the Apple, it'll automatically update if you're online?
Yes, it does automatically update. In Apple or in the PCs in Outlook, but we don't want to just assume someone knew it changed. We want to, if it's something that affects a lot of people, we email it out. We have two ladies on our staff, Pastor Secretary Bonnie Furso and Lisa Stoner, who's the office manager. Those two ladies meet weekly on the calendar, and they bounce things off of one another, and they come to me in the Pastor Chapel with other questions, and they are the ones that are the keepers of the calendar. And anything that's changed, they both know about it, and they decide who needs to know that this changed. The church calendar has one amount of information on it, you know, special Sundays, retreats, events, and the staff calendar has probably that much more information on it. And so the staff gets both at their availability. I subscribe to the staff calendar and not to the church calendar. Our church members would subscribe to the church calendar. But the staff calendar has both of that information on it, so just more information. Yes, sir.
Concerning volunteers, does this department monitor the service of a volunteer compared to a paid or the area that they serve in to
right.
keep them from violating the...
We depend on policy enforcement from the ministry leaders. So we would expect that the children's pastor... He has a set of policies that all the children's workers are to comply with, and he's the one who's responsible for communicating to them. So this department does not work with the volunteers. We depend on the pastoral staff who lead the departments to do that. Anything else? Everybody's ready to get some rest before the evening service or get some water or things of that nature? Well, we're certainly glad you're here. Please pray for tonight, and why don't we have a word of prayer together? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for the privilege of being involved in ministry. We pray that you'd bless the service this evening, and we pray that you'd give the preacher your power. And we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of eternally significant work as a part of the local church. And I pray that you'd use us. I pray that the days ahead for all of our churches would be among the most fruitful days that we've ever had. And I pray that you would help our staff here and in these churches to do their work with the power of God on their lives and with a heart for souls and a passion for you and a growing walk. And I pray that you would lead our churches forward with a contagious revival spirit through the coming days. And I pray that even as we move into the fall season, and many of us will have fall campaigns and special Sundays and outreach emphasis, I pray that you'd give us fruit and help us to make a difference in our communities. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.